The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, offering unparalleled access to high-performance inputs, innovative technologies, and local agronomic expertise to help growers lead the field. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McRae. This edition of the show is dedicated to new technology in agriculture. In the first half of the show, we'll discuss tractors of the future. You may be amazed at the vehicles already being used in the field and what they can do. And in the second half of the show, it's a company that may make soil sampling obsolete. Learn how they're using technology to get the information in a new way. It's all on this edition of Farming the Countryside. So you've probably seen pictures of tractors of the future. Perhaps they are driverless vehicles that can pull large implements and much more. But that's not the reality for one company that's already in the field. That's where Zach James comes into the picture. He's the founder of Rabbit Tractor, and his tractors look far different than anything you've seen. He's got a lot of proven concepts, including a unique way to sow cover crops, a problem many of us encounter when you need to seed into a standing crop. I had time to visit with Zach and learn more about Rabbit Tractor. Rabbit Tractor. People cannot see the Rabbit Tractor right now. Let's just start out by describing what it is.
So it's a what we call a farm utility robot. It's about the size of a golf cart, 4-horsepower unit. And the idea is that by running these in swarms, 5 to 10 of our vehicles, we can replace modern tractors and see a lot of operational efficiencies as well as agronomic benefits.
So with the Rabbit Tractor right now, is it mostly just been testing phase, or what are you doing with them right now?
Yeah, so we've been testing it for the past 2 years, refining the mechanical design and the autonomous software. Now we're gearing up to go out and actually do services for farmers in 2020. So we have a cover cropping service where we can go above 40-inch rows and in between, or above 40-inch crops and in between 30-inch rows. And then we also have a soil sampling service. We can actually go pull cores, bag them, and get them ready to get sent to the lab all autonomously.
So talk about how that works then. Are you specifically doing that, or do you license the technology to others to use, or how are they finding you and using your technology now?
So we are going out and doing the services for farmers. In the future, we'll look at a licensing model, but for now, we're actually doing the work ourselves.
Where are you based out of, and how big an area can you hit?
We're based on Northwest Indiana, so just outside of Chicago on the good side of the border. We go all the way to Iowa, down to Tennessee, Kansas, everywhere in between.
Right now, the folks that you're going to be working with, why are they working with you as opposed to doing something else right now?
So mostly now, we are a cost leader. We can do it a lot cheaper. Most of it's autonomously, and we can have have multiple people working, multiple tractors working under one labor cost. In the future, we believe it's going to change because we're going to be actually a value-added service. We have auxiliary sensors that can measure a lot more than a normal sensor test can or a lab test can do and get you a lot quicker. And our cover cropping is a lot more accurate than an aerial application is.
So let's take some of those just individually. Cover cropping right now, with this machine, how big of a swath can I take as I do cover crops? You already mentioned the height and so forth. So how much can you do in a certain amount of time?
Up to 25-foot swath. We're going 10 to 15 miles an hour. So we're covering about 15 acres an hour at 100%, with tendering and everything like that, 10, 12 acres an hour per unit. We run up to 5 units at once.
That's what I was going to say. So that's just one unit. So with 5 units, you can cover a lot of ground pretty fast.
Yeah, it's cover crop spreading or spreading in general, because we obviously can do dry fertilizer with it too. It's a pretty unique use case because the swath width isn't really dictated by the size of the machine. So we can get a lot of the productivity of a large $500,000 spreader with a $20,000 unit.
And a lot less weight. You're not going to have much compaction with this.
Yeah, and we get no compaction at all. Soil that we'll walk on or mud we walk on and get stuck in, this kind of floats over the top of.
Yeah. So then talk about soil sampling. What are you able to do better than what we're doing right now with the Rabbit Tractor?
So in real time, we can give organic content as well as clay content and moisture level.
All right. Future applications, where do you see this going?
So in 2021, we're going to also add a planter unit to our services as well as a spraying unit. So that way, it's one piece of equipment that you can basically use 10 months out of the year.
As you look to the future, some people have said autonomous tractors will be basically just the current tractor we have with no cab. But I've heard a totally different side of that it will be more smaller units like this, but we just use many of them. Where do you see things going?
Yeah, definitely that's smaller and more of it. So autonomy in ag, it removes that labor constraint, right? We save the labor dollars, but it removes that labor constraint, and it lets us completely re-envision the way the tractor is. So our vehicle, for one, you remove the cab, so that's 30% of the tractor. That's gone, and you can start fixing the implements onto the vehicle in that center portion where the cab used to be. Fixed implements, way more energy efficient and way more accurate, because you have no drift or anything like that.
Right. Well, and as we stand here and look at this, we call this a tractor, but it's really, it's not like a tractor we would think of. It's basically just, it's the unit itself, what you need to spread.
Exactly. It's just a, you know, a big farm utility robot's what we call it. And then just different implements go in the center of them, and you can switch them out real quickly. You know, one guy can lift it, pull it off, put a new one on, your spreader, and then it's modular too, so you can change its height, change its width. So one unit you can use that the entire year.
Do you foresee someday that we'll have rabbit tractor dealers just like we have big tractor dealers?
So the nice thing about this is breakdowns aren't as a big of a deal, because if you have 10 machines and one breaks down, you still got 9 more out running. So you can wait a day or two to get the parts to you. And because the tractors are smaller, they're way simpler, and people can work on them themselves, right? You don't need the tires don't weigh 500 pounds. You can lift this thing up. The tire unit's 200 pounds dry, so you can lift it up. A guy can, you know, work on it, flip it over, work on it, and get it back out running real quickly.
Well, do you see in the future then, will we eventually ever get away from conventional tractors, or will we always need some of those just for specific jobs that we just cannot do with a vehicle like this?
Yeah, so around the farmyard, you'll always need a utility tractor, you know, to plow snow, move hay bales, you know, stuff like that. Those edge use cases alone don't add enough value to auto, and because that's such a more challenging environment to operate into. So, right, all the challenges there, the use cases don't add enough value to implement there. And we'll always need a high horsepower unit for stuff like tillage.
So the Rabbit tractor is already in use, and you're going to keep seeing more tractors like this. But the Rabbit tractor looks huge compared to another vehicle from a company called EarthSense. I visited with Chimney Soman, co-founder of EarthSense, a robotics and machine learning company working on important challenges in agriculture. We began talking about his tractor, about the size of a large dog that was with him that day. This is radio podcast. People can't see this. Describe what we're standing next to. What's it called and what's it do?
So our robot, which is called Terra Sentia, it's a 30-pound tiny robot. We call it ultra-compact, so it fits within rows of corn or beans, you know, 30-inch beans anyway. Mm-hmm. It's about 20 inches long, 12 inches wide, 12 inches tall. So really small equipment. The way to think about it is it's a drone on the ground. So it collects useful information from underneath the canopy. So stuff that, you know, things that you really want to know about your crops but cannot find out from the air because it's underneath the canopy. So things like symptoms of diseases, symptoms of nutrient deficiency, you know, specific weed identification, all of that is really difficult to do from the air, or in many cases impossible to do from there. And especially if you want to do it in a high resolution way to specifically identify what's going on in each, you know, half acre or quarter acre grid on your field, you really need something like this that's a compact ground device with cameras and other sensors on it that goes through the field, records lots of data. And then the other important thing that we've done at EarthSense is develop a whole suite of machine learning and machine vision based software that takes in all this data and converts it into numbers. So you know exactly how tall your plants are in that specific area, you know, how many ears you have, how big the ears are, all kinds of quantitative, highly specific information.
So the work you've done so far, has it been corn, beans, or are you in specialty crops, or how have you been using technology so far?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're based in Urbana-Champaign, central Illinois. So, of course, the natural place for us to start has been corn and beans. But over the past year, we've actually branched out quite a bit. So we've made big progress in corn and beans, but we've also started working with vegetable and fruit tree and, you know, nut tree type fields, mm-hmm. and collect data and give useful information to those people as well.
So this machine that we see here, there's a whole lot more going on beyond that. Yeah. So what percentage of your work is this machine here as opposed to everything else you're doing?
Oh, wow. I mean, we think of it as equally important. The hardware is important for the robot to go through and collect data. There's a lot of self-driving software on the robot as well, so it uses GPS, LiDAR, and soon vision, so camera data, to figure out where it should go in the field and what kind of data it should collect. But as you pointed out, the equally important, or perhaps even slightly more important, is, we don't want to give people just the raw video data. So there's hundreds of gigabytes of video. Nobody has time to sit and watch it. What happens is the robot uploads all of that data right now to your account in the cloud, and then our software analyzes all that information and gives you sort of plant by plant, if you want, information on exactly what's happening in your field.
Right now, then, is your work mostly data gathering as opposed to actually performing a task in the field?
Yeah, so we work with partners. So we have customers in the seed industry as well as agronomists and university crop scientists. They are the ones that take the robots. So last year we made 38 of these robots that were out collecting data. We collected over 8 terabytes of data, I think. Mm-hmm. So lots of data came in, and then this was done largely by our customers. So they, their own agronomists, or better yet, their undergraduate or high school interns. They have a lot of fun using the robot in the field, and then we get that data. We work with the customer to say, okay, from this collection, what is it that you want to know about your corn or beans or almond trees or what have you, and then we convert that. Our software converts that into those numbers for them.
So what are you finding people are specifically wanting to know and why they're using this right now?
So right now we're working with the crop breeding and plant protection chemicals development type people. And for them, no data is enough, right? So they want, multiple times throughout the season, they want plant height, for example, with very high degree of accuracy. Leaf area index is another big one. Stem width is where we start setting ourselves apart from anything else out there. So right now, if you wanted to collect stem width on scale, you basically can't, because somebody literally has to crawl on their hands and knees through the field, and nobody wants to sign up for that. But as the robot is going through, in the time it takes for a person to measure a few properties of one plant, the robot scanned a couple hundred plants. And then we turn all of that data, simultaneously into stem width, plant height, leaf area index, ear height, all these kinds of things in, corn, for example. Similarly, in beans, we've been doing leaf area index and plant height, of course, but also pod count, flower count, node count. We are starting to do a lot of disease detection as well. NCLB, tar spot in corn, or frog eye and brown spot in beans have been things that people really care about. So that's what we've been focusing on.
For folks that want to find you, where do they find you on the web or find out more?
Our website is at earthsense.co. That's earthsense.co.
Driving rains, unrelenting heat, ominous green skies. Whatever Mother Nature brings, it's no match for what you'll have thanks to Nutrien Ag Solutions, offering agronomic power, local expertise, and access to solutions to help you weather the storm, conquer today, and lead the field. Find your local crop consultant at NutrienAgSolutions.com. Soil sampling is a very important part of many farm plants. It's the basis for the maps we use to pinpoint fertilizer applications and much more. But could new technology eliminate the need to sample the soil? That is what one company is working to do. Suzanne Kimtrup helped found RxMaker, and I visited with her about the technology that can revolutionize a job that we've done for decades. Suzanne, RxMaker, talk about what that is exactly, because several people may not have heard of the company before.
I wouldn't be surprised. We're a startup company. We're about 2.5 years old. And what we aim to do is to eliminate soil sampling. So that's really the big aspirational goal.
So talk about that, how that works then. How are we going to eliminate soil sampling?
So what we do is we use satellite imagery, multi-temporal, multi-spectral satellite imagery together with topography data when it's there. And we use machine learning and artificial intelligence to create these management zone maps at very high resolution. So what we're doing right now is we're developing these algorithms. We use ground truth data, so that is farmer data from actual soil samplings, to develop our algorithms. And once those algorithms are developed, say for Iowa or Ohio, then we can use those algorithms for those geographies, and we don't need to do the soil sampling anymore.
So where are we at with the technology right now? How far into it are we, and can we already be using it so I don't have to actually go out there and soil sample at this point?
So we're about 2.5 years in development right now, and we have geographies in Mississippi and North Carolina and a little bit in Illinois. So we're trying to get a lot more geographies to do that development. And right now we're demoing here at this show our minimal viable product, which is actually the map together with the table. But then we're still trying to figure out how we're going to present all that data, because we're at it's a much more data-rich presentation than what you would get than from just simply grid sampling.
So you think that you can do a better job of telling what's in the soil with this technology than actually digging in the soil, is that right?
Insofar that it's much more high resolution. So okay. We're at a higher resolution, so 100 square meter resolution. So
at this point, you still need to go out there and do some soil sampling, but once you have the algorithms, would there be a need for a farmer, you think, at some point to ever have to go back out in that field and actually take soil samples, or will they still need to check this every once in a while to be able to make sure that we're up to date with what we're doing, seeing from the satellite?
Well, we intend that they no longer need to take soil samplings, but I tell you, the growers that I always encounter are the ultimate experimentalists. So I imagine they are not going to give it up, and they are going to do some spot checking. But hopefully it's not going to be the big expense that they've encountered at $10, $15 sample plus processing in the past. And then the other advantage is you can run a map and find an RX Maker map any time of year, so you don't have to wait for the weather to figure out what your soil sampling needs are going to be.
I wanted to get over to that. Is there a certain time of the year, or with a crop growing there, does it help tell us more, because I can actually see the crop in this case and what the crop's doing?
At this point, no. It depends on the geography, and it depends on the place as whether which times of year are actually the better. We let the machine learning tell us which is the better, but we okay. Pull down 24 images across the whole year and use that whole time period to create our algorithm.
So how far away are we, do you think, from farmers being able to use this all over the place? Where are we at? You mentioned you're in 2.5 years. What's, yeah. I guess, the learning curve at this point?
Yeah. What we hope to do is to get this into agronomists' hands robustly within the next planting season. So we have our minimum viable product for this planting season. We're working with a few growers to let them try it out and let them get back to us. But then we'll be scaling through farm management information systems or other agronomic programs. We know there's a lot of agronomists out there that prefer to do their own thing, so we'll be scaling at that level too.
All right. So if people want to find out more, what's the best way to find you? Do they go to the website, or how are they going to learn more?
We have a website, rxmaker.com, and we have a contact us page there. So please go ahead and contact us if you want to help us out with the development of our algorithms. We'd be more than welcome to hear.
Being able to know your soils without sampling is impressive technology that's on the way. Some other technology I found at a recent conference is old, yet new. Leaf sampling has been around for several years, but John Masco, founder and CEO of Vanco Ag Technologies, says there's a new way to sample that will provide much more in the way of results. Here's our conversation. Let's begin by talking about some of the leaf technologies, if you will. We have done tissue samples. That's not new, but some of what you're doing would be a new way to be able to get some of that information.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're commercializing a leaf scanning technology that allows us to collect nutrient, water, and chemical composition of a plant in real time in the field. In doing so, we're able to multiply the number of data points by 100-fold versus traditional tissue sampling out of a laboratory.
So with that technology, how are you capturing it? Do you do it with a drone? Do you do it with implements moving through the field? What are you doing?
During a normal scouting process, we'd have a handheld hyperspectral transmittance scanner that will go through and non-destructively take a sample of a leaf, give us about 13.5 million data points on that leaf, and then georeference that spot. And the scout, as they're looking at other characteristics within the field, they're collecting hundreds of different sample locations. Then we take that data and push it up to a cloud, working with a Taranis delivery platform that delineates the variability much more refined. So then the crop consultant can generate a prescription that is automatically sent to the farmer's controller so that they have the results in less than hours after they get done scouting versus the 3 to 5 days of sending a composite tissue sample into the laboratory waiting for the results.
So what do you feel like is the most important information that you're gathering? Because we're always looking during the season for different information. What's this really helping to stay on top of?
Well, what it's doing, it's allowing us to really get a good snapshot of what's occurring in the field and the levels in which the variability of the nutrient content of the plant so that we can respond in real time. So for less cost to get hundreds of sampling locations, we can deliver this type of nutrient profile and chemical composition of a plant. This is very important, safe in hemp. Where we're trying to manage THC levels because we have a lot of crops exceeding that, and you can mitigate those levels by knowing where they stand while the plant is growing and mitigate those stresses.
It sounds like to me that the information you're getting, we have ways to get that information, but now we can get so many more samples and do it so much more quickly. That would be the main advantage?
Yeah, the main advantage is hundreds of more data points and cost effectiveness, and also delivery time to the grower. So it's speed to action is what we're promoting and what we can deliver.
So right now the technology, is it mostly going direct to farmers, or is it more going direct to crop scouts who are using it and being able to use the platform?
We're working with crops consulting companies and people because they are the boots on the ground, they're knowing what's happening, and they're generally the ones who are making the recommendations. And we need to help enhance their ability to do that in a more effective and a more accurate way.
For a moment, talk about even bigger, your company, because we've decided to zero in on this technology, but you do a lot in this ag tech space.
Yeah, what we're dealing with is I've been in the industry for over 30 years, and there's a lot of, I call them gap technologies that make the main technologies work more effectively. The leaf scanning allows us to get more data points. We are working with Taranis as a delivery platform to get pre-scouting information and working with that. And then we also are working with a pressure flow sensor that is unique in the industry on drip irrigation because we don't have access to what's the flow and pressures are at the end of a lateral. We've developed that as a radio capable sensor. And so that gives us the ability to respond and react on what's happening in the field in real time.
I hope you've enjoyed a look at some of the latest trends in ag technology. How soon will some of these items come to the farm near you? Or will they even make it that far? It will be interesting to see what takes place in the coming years. Thanks for listening. We'll catch up with you next time on Farming the Countryside. The Farming the Countryside podcast has been brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, offering unparalleled access to high-performance inputs, innovative technologies, and local agronomic expertise to help growers lead the field.